Support for Here and Now comes from BetterHelp, committed to supporting mental health through therapy. Clients are matched with one of 25,000 therapists and can communicate via video, chat, or phone at betterhelp.com/public.
From NPR and WBUR Boston, I'm Jeremy Hobson.
I'm Robin Young. It's Here and Now. The threat of ISIS is the topic of conversation around the world today. Secretary of State John Kerry is meeting with French President François Hollande and other world leaders in Paris to talk about the global response.
Meanwhile, lawmakers are meeting on Capitol Hill today to talk about authorization for the U.S. to train and equip Syrian rebel fighters, part of the strategy President Obama outlined last week to combat ISIS. Here is White House Chief of Staff Dennis McDonough being asked about U.S. boots on the ground by Chuck Todd on NBC's Meet the Press.
There's not a single military advisor that has come to you guys and said you can defeat ISIS without some combat troops, ISIS in Syria without some combat
troops. That's correct.
That's a fact.
That's a fact, and that's the president's view, and that's why what we need Congress to do right now, and frankly, we're seeing very good progress on this, thanks to the speaker and to others, is to put together support for what the president calls a Title 10 program to train and equip the Syrian opposition on the ground fighting ISIL.
But some are voicing concerns that rebel boots on the ground won't be enough, and members of the House plan to leave Washington at the end of this week to campaign ahead of the November midterm election. So the countdown clock is on in Washington. Ron Elving, senior Washington editor and correspondent at NPR, joins us now with more. And Ron, what can we expect from today's meeting in the House about authorizing the U.S. to arm and equip Syrian rebels?
Jeremy, specifically, we're expecting the House Rules Committee, which is a powerful body in that body, to meet this evening and to discuss what it has been essentially handed by the House Republican leadership, which is a deal being worked out with the administration to respond to this request to arm and train moderate or vetted Syrian pro-Western, if you will, forces who are anti-Assad, that is, they have been in rebellion against the president of that country, and at the same time also opposed to ISIS, who have been one of their rival groups there in Syria. This is what the administration wants. This is what the military wants. This is what we expect Congress to pass, but there are many hurdles to be cleared first.
And what about the Senate? If this passes through the House, would the Senate pass it?
The Senate is, of course, always a hurdle in its own right, and their rules are more difficult than those of the House. And even if the leadership of both parties supports something in the Senate, it can be more complicated. Just today, we've heard Senator Rand Paul, the junior senator from Kentucky, who has been outspoken in many instances regarding American military commitments overseas. Rand Paul was saying it's a mistake to get involved with any more of these Syrian rebels, that when we have trained them and armed them in the past, many of the armaments have wound up in the wrong hands, in this case, in the hands of ISIS.
Yeah. Which is something, by the way, that Senator Mark Begich of Alaska, Democrat, told us just on Friday on this program, that he thinks it would be a mistake to arm Syrian rebels because they may end up not being on the same side as the U.S.
That is right. And of course, we have also heard reports in the last day or so that at least one of the supposedly pro-Western or moderate Syrian rebel groups that is not ISIS has reached some sort of an agreement, a ceasefire for the moment, with ISIS. And so it is not clear where these relationships might be moving around.
Well, Ron, a quick question about the idea we introduced at the beginning here, the concern that arming the rebels might not be enough. You know, the administration, the president has said several times there will be no U.S. combat boots on the ground. There's a lot of debate about that. Here's Democratic Senator Jack Reed and Republican Senator Lindsey Graham debating that yesterday on Fox News Sunday.
We've found, I think, for the last 10 years, that the most effective fighting force on the ground ultimately is those indigenous troops, those local troops who are fighting for their own country, for their own future. If we make this an American fight, the Iraqis, the Saudis would be gladly step back and let us do as much as we can. That's what they did after the invasion of Iraq. We have to empower them, but they have to carry the fight to the enemy. This is a fight within the Sunni community. It's a fight that they have to win for their own self-interest. And we have to make it clear that that's the case.
That was the Democratic Senator Jack Reed. Here's the Republican Senator Lindsey Graham.
For anybody to suggest that we can do this with air power alone, or this is like Yemen and Somalia, is disingenuous and delusional. I want a regional coalition. I want the Free Syrian Army in the fight. I want Arab countries in the fight. But here's what I'm tired of hearing. from this administration and my friends on the other side and within my party that this is somehow easy and really not our fight. Name one Arab army you could put together anytime soon to deal with a terrorist army of over 30,000 without a substantial American commitment.
Lindsey Graham has also said, Ron, ISIS will come here and kill people in the U.S. How is this resonating in Congress with experts?
The Congress members are mostly concerned about going home and campaigning for re-election. So they have a lot of what we call messaging bills they would like to do this week. They would like to get that done. But we do anticipate that either as a freestanding vote or more likely as an amendment to the spending bill, the stopgap spending bill that will keep the government open past the 30th of September, and we've talked about that before, mm-hmm. as an amendment to that bill, there will be some kind of support passed by this Congress, House and Senate, this week or early next week to provide this training money, this equipment money in that theater. Now, at the same time, in the public as a whole, yes, you get a very strong response to confront ISIS, confront these people with these beheading videos we're seeing on television. Two-thirds of Americans want that. But there is also a very low level of confidence that whatever we do, whatever this administration and this Congress may do, will be successful in at least the shorter intermediate run against ISIS.
Ron, another big question is whether the administration already has the legal authorization for airstrikes, not arming Syrian rebels, which they're asking for here, but for airstrikes. And they've been relying on the 2001 authorization for use of military force, which was passed after 9/11 and says it gives them authorization to go after people who were responsible for the recent attacks. We're talking about ISIS here, who obviously had nothing to do with 9/11.
Well, that's right. And the 2001 September authorization was passed just 3 days after 9/11. But a year after that, in October 2002, it was expanded to a specific authorization for the use of military force in Iraq. And since most of some of the airstrikes that we've done up to now have been in Iraq, they've been relying on that. They would like to expand the sense of both of those to make it possible for them to go after ISIS. And that vote might come after the election in a lame duck session in November or December.
Ron Elving, NPR senior editor and correspondent. Thank you as always, Ron.
Thank you both.